Hey, listen, Ephesians chapter 1, verse, we're going to read a prayer together. I prayed for you guys this week. I pray for you every week. You know what? I get emails every once in a while where people say, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I can't tell you what that does to my heart when people say they're praying for me. And I want you to know I pray for you all the time. And this is the prayer I've been praying. I've prayed it probably, 15, 20 times this week over your lives. And we're going to be looking at this again. We spent the last number of weeks on Pentecost and talking about the need for Pentecost and recognizing I've been captured by this thought that the disciples were discipled by the greatest disciple maker there ever will be, Jesus Christ himself. There will never be a better disciple maker than Jesus. And after 3.5 years of being with God, the disciples are fighting over who's going to be number one. Can you imagine that? They were with God himself, and they're still going, well, am I going to be the big guy? You know, and even after the resurrection of Jesus, they're still saying, well, now is Israel going to be the prominent nation? And Jesus said, and this has just captured my heart, Jesus said, don't do anything until you've received the gift. And dear ones, I am becoming so aware of the need of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not getting into doctrine stuff. Well, it looks like this, looks like this. There are many expressions of being filled with the Holy Spirit. There are many things that will show whatever you're filled with, you're controlled by. And the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the need of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believers. Christianity is not a self-help program. Christianity is not just improve and get better. If that's how you see Christianity, you're missing the whole point. Christianity is this: I cannot be good outside of the relationship with the Holy Spirit. I cannot change or be transformed outside of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's good for you that I'm going away, because when I go, I am going to send someone who's not going to only be with you, but he is going to be inside you. And for you and I to live this transformed life, it's not us trying harder, it's yielding ourselves to a relationship with Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that is what, when we're filled with Holy Spirit continually, it is evidenced by what we say to ourselves, say to each other, how we live, how we treat each other. It's really expressed. And also, God gives gifts, and one of the gifts is the gift of tongues, because he knows our limitation in communication. So he just says, I'm going to help you in every area of your life by giving you Holy Spirit. And the last thing I want to say before we read our verse is this, that if, and I just forgot what I was going to say. Doesn't matter. Let's read the verse. Isn't that amazing how the mind works? It's right there and then it goes away. If someone of you catch it, bring it back to me, would you? Let's read this as a prayer together, shall we? Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. You ready, Darren? Let's read this out loud together. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, pause, that is the biblical definition of conversion. When you and I have faith in Jesus, which is expressed in love for people, that is authentic Christianity. Okay? Go with me. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Would you say yes and amen? Father, I'm asking in just the next few moments that you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes. That, Lord, though I understand you use words, words without Holy Spirit revelation just fall on the ground. But Holy Spirit, you take words and you make them real and relevant. Holy Spirit, I pray that there would be a sermon inside the sermon. And what I mean, Lord, there might be something I don't say, but you say to the hearts of your people. There might be something that I miss, but you won't miss it in the hearts of your people. And that God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I continually ask the same thing. Holy Spirit, bring revelation. Holy Spirit, bring wisdom. Holy Spirit, enlighten our heart, the eyes of our heart. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who we exalted and who we praised. In Jesus' name. Would you say yes and amen? Yes and amen. Okay. So Paul prayed this prayer continually. Interesting, all that Paul could have prayed for, why did he pray for this? He could have prayed that they would just all get along. He could have prayed that they would all have just had a great life. They could have prayed that they all just had were blessed and prosperous. But no, his intercession was continually this prayer. And I'm going to try to answer that question today because that prayer is for us today. God wanted this prayer in the scriptures for us to be able to understand. There's something important about this that we need to recognize. I have read this verse, I can't tell you how many times, about April or May, this verse became alive, and I've been studying out this verse ever since. I've been looking at this verse. There is so much to this verse that goes beyond just a casual reading. There is a majesty and a beauty to these verses. And we're going to try to explain a little bit more this week. And next week, get to the three things that Paul prayed for specifically. So, Paul prayed two things. One, by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is the practical application of revelation. Revelation is something that is there, but it's been covered. Revelation means that God uncovers it so that you can see what is already there. That revelation, the Holy Spirit reveals what is already there so that we can now have wisdom, practically live this out. Christianity goes way beyond 10 o'clock to 10:30 to 12 on a Sunday. It affects every part of our lives. That God's revelation impacts the way in which we treat people, the way in which we do our jobs, the way in which we raise our families, the way in which we do our relationships, our internal thinking and motivation. It deals with every aspect of our life. But until it's revealed to us, until it's uncovered, we don't see it. And so Paul says, here's what I'm praying. I pray that the Holy Spirit would give you wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. And this word know here means to have an exact or a full knowledge. It means intimacy. Deb and I started dating when I was 15 and she was 16. She robbed the cradle. Awesome. We have been together 39 years exclusively. We'll be married 34 years this month of October. So we've been exclusive for 39 years. My knowledge of her and her knowledge of me is so much more greater than it was when I was 15 and when she was 16. That our knowledge of being together has expanded so much. Our understanding of who we are has grown as our relationship has been together. And Paul is saying there is a fuller knowledge, there is a more exact knowledge, listen to me, that I have that I want you to have. That Paul knew things about God that he was praying that the church of Ephesus, they would know God in a fuller way. How many recognize there's more about God than we know right now, right? There's always more. And Paul's praying, I want you to have that fuller, that more exact knowledge. The second thing he prayed in verse 18 is that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened. And it's where we get the word photograph. The word is photozoid. And it's where we have a photograph. They didn't have cameras during that day, but the eyes of the heart would enlighten so that you could see something. So Paul's how many remember Polaroid cameras? Right? Weren't they the coolest? When I was in high school, a kid brought a Polaroid camera to school, and he was the coolest kid on campus. And he'd come up to some girls and he'd say, hey, you want me to take your picture? Well, how are you going to develop it? He'd go, watch. And this little square gray thing would come out, and he'd just kind of wave it like this. And then their image would start appearing, and he'd hand them and they were, oh, you're so cool. I know I lived in the age of the dinosaur, but that was cool when I was a kid. This is his idea, that whatever you look at, you would have an image burned upon your heart of what you're seeing. And Paul is saying, I want you to see what I have seen. I want the eyes of the heart to be enlightened, that you might see something. Because when you see something, you know something. When you know something and you see something, transformation takes place in your life. And Paul is praying this over and over again. I want you to have a fuller knowledge and I want you to see something. Now, let me illustrate it. It falls short, but let me try to illustrate it this way. How many of you have ever gone to the south rim of the Grand Canyon? How many of you have never gone to the south rim of the Grand Canyon? Okay, so for those of you who have gone to the south rim of the Grand Canyon, when I say to you the colors are vibrant, when I say to you it's majestic and it's glorious, when I say to you the beauty of the Grand Canyon, it's so surreal, it almost looks fake, it is just gorgeous. How many can say, I understand what you're talking about because I've seen it, right? You have a fuller knowledge because you've seen it. For those of you who have not seen it, you don't have the fuller knowledge. So no matter how many words I use to describe the Grand Canyon, because you have not seen it, words fall way short of describing the beauty, the majesty, the glory, the wonder of the Grand Canyon. And Paul is saying the same thing here. He is saying, what I have seen and what I have heard, and we're going to get there in just a moment, words fall so short in describing the wonder and the beauty and what God has done for you. My words fall so short, so here's what I'm doing instead. I'm going to describe to you, I'm going to tell you all that God has done, but I'm praying that Holy Spirit is going to allow you to see it, because when you see it, you have a fuller knowledge, a greater understanding, more of an intimacy, and then you know God better. And here's what I'm praying for, you guys. Thank you, Paul. Here's what I'm praying for. Almost every day, see it. Well, somebody join him. Come on, let's do that. Yeah. I was raised in church my whole life. I sat where you sat. I heard the sermons. I went to Sunday school class. I went to youth group. I did all that. I went to church because I played the drums and they needed a drummer. And there was a cute girl by the name of Debbie Allen going. So my motives weren't the purest. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm playing drums, and we had a 500-member youth choir, or a youth group. We had the fastest-growing church, in one of the top 1% fastest-growing churches in America. There were people being healed, literally, physically being healed, filled with the Spirit. And I sat in a church week after week like this and couldn't see it. I just went to church because my mom and dad made me. I didn't see it. But when I saw, my life began to change. When I saw, the Word became alive. Perfect? No. But there was a transformation taking place. Why? Because I saw. I saw it now. Holy Spirit revealed to me Jesus. I heard him. I knew all the stories. I knew I had the flannel graph stuff, but I saw it. I finally saw it. And when I began to see it, now my walk with God became so enthralling, exciting, fulfilling. Were there problems? Were there challenges? Definitely. But there was something in the scene that transformed my life. That's what Paul's saying. I want you to see. I want you to have a fuller knowledge, more an exact knowledge. Okay. So now I need to confess, I've got an awkward transition right now. I've been taught in public speaking, you're supposed to go from point A to point B to point Z and then finish. I'm going from point A to, I don't know, point Z right now. So I'm just going to confess it. It's awkward what I'm transitioning to, but I am going somewhere, okay? I'm staying on the subject, but I need to do an awkward transition. So here's our awkward transition. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, okay? Because for me to get to what Paul saw, that he's praying that we see, we got to go back a chapter to explain some things, okay? We got to see how a transformed life looked like. Everybody okay? It's awkward. I'm just confessing that. Is that okay? Thanks for the three of you. The rest of you, I love you too. Here's the point now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is being accused of being just this nothing apostle. And these super apostles come into the Corinthian church and they are boasting about what they have done and what they have accomplished, and they're trying to put Paul down. They're trying to just kind of push him to the side, and they are just giving all this testimony about themselves. And by the way, let me just add this. If a religious speaker talks about themselves only, be very, very careful with them, because Paul calls that foolishness, and he also says God doesn't talk that way. A person should never draw attention to themselves. They can say, let me tell you what God is doing through my life. But when a person just is talking about them, Paul was calling them foolish. And he doesn't talk that way. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, so there's the context for the text. In verse 22, he's talking about them. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? And then he puts this in. I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder. Now listen. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea. Where else can you live, right? Country, city, sea, there's no place else to go. Wherever he goes, he's at danger. And he says, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Dear God, if that was not more the case, that instead of telling us how great we are, if we would just say, man, in my weakness, he's made strong. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window and all in the wall and slipped through his hands. I need to read the context for chapter 12. Here's why. Why didn't Paul tap out? Why didn't Paul go, I'm out, raise somebody else up? Why didn't Paul... 5 times he got 39 lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. No matter where he goes, he's in danger. He has to move all the time. He's thrown in prison all the time. Why didn't he say, I'm out. Let somebody else do this. This is not the Christianity I signed up for. The reason being is because he saw something that was of greater worth. What will keep you and I from tapping out in Christianity? What will it be? We just say, this is too much. I don't want to do this anymore. You have to see something. You have to see something of greater value than what you're currently going through. You have to see something of greater worth and greater value than the challenges and the trials of your life. And I doubt if you and I are going to be whipped 39 times with lashes. I doubt if we're going to be beaten with rods. I doubt we're going to be stoned. And by the way, when you're stoned, they don't leave you living. He probably died and God raised him from the dead. This man was able to go through so much. And look what he says about these challenges that we just read. These trials, this suffering. Look what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Would you read this with me? Darren, put it up. He goes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy compared with the glory that will be revealed with us. His present suffering was lashes, was rods, was imprisonment, was a night and day in the ocean, was all these in danger wherever he was. He goes, compared to the glory that's waiting us, this is nothing. And this word worthy, we've looked at it before. It's the balance of scales. Where Paul says in Ephesians, live a life worthy of your calling. When you understand all that God's done for you, then live a life worthy of that. Paul said, there is something that I have seen that even though I've described to you all that I've gone through, it is not even worth talking about. Because of what God has for us, what I have seen, all this suffering is nothing compared. Because he saw something. And what you and I'm praying for, and what you and I need to know is that we've got to see. And God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to show us. He wants to reveal himself to us so that we can look at life. And though it hurts, and though there's pain, and though there's suffering, and though there's loss, we can say, but I've seen something of far greater worth than what I'm currently going through. But you got to see it. Paul was not a superhero. Paul wasn't this guy that goes, go ahead and lash me. Ha ha, it didn't hurt me. No. It would have taken weeks, if not months, for him to recover, beaten with rods. If you would have seen Paul, he would have had scars all over his body. If you would have seen the Apostle Paul, he was not this blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy who came in with a cape saying, I'm ready to bring the gospel. He probably was limping into a city, broken, beaten, but he's not defeated. And look what he says about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look what he says. He goes, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly, he uses an interesting word, we are wasting away. His body was breaking down. Paul's body had suffered so much pain and beating and stoning and beaten with rods. He was feeling the weight of that on his life. Yet, he says, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Listen, we're all getting older, right? Right? And if Jesus wants us to have perfect health until heaven, praise God. But if that doesn't happen, we don't have to bemoan what we've lost. We can be renewed inwardly day by day. And you might not be able to the energy you once had. It doesn't matter. Your spirit can be renewed day by day by day. You can have a fresh spirit even if your body can't do what it used to do. I used to be an athlete. For those of you who know the nomenclature of our, I'll tell you later about that. This is what I believe we've been talking about, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can't do what you couldn't do this. But Paul says, I'm wasting away. His body's breaking down. The price of following Jesus Christ, it cost him something. But here's what he says. But inwardly, I'm fresh, I'm young, I'm alive. Then he goes on to say this. Go ahead, next verse. For our light and momentary light. There's no place you can go that you're not being hunted. There's no place that you can go where you're not in danger of being thrown in prison and dying. There's nothing. You've been beaten and you have been beaten and you have been beaten. And he goes, they're light and momentary. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. What kind of person talks that way? What kind of person can have joy in the midst of suffering? Yeah, we feel the pain, got it. But what kind of person can communicate that way? It's a person who says, I've seen something. And now he goes, I want you to see it. So what did he see? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what he saw. Paul goes on to say, Darren, would you get that last verse of 2 Corinthians 4? Would you grab that? Can you go? Oh, there we go. No, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm sorry. There should be one more verse to 2 Corinthians 4. Do you not have it? Go next one, verse 17. Do you not have it? It's not just not showing? Okay, I love technology. So Paul says at the end of that verse, the next verse though, verse 18. Gosh, this is, wonder how Jesus did it without, there we go. Would you read this out loud with me? So we fix our eyes, not what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen eternal. How do you fix your eyes on unseen? That's what his prayer was. The eyes of your heart so that you can see. This is all going away. It's all going away. If our life is about here, then this is what we see. If life is about now, this is all we see. But Paul says, I've had everything taken from me. I give it up freely just to know Christ, Philippians 3. He says, so I'm fixing my eyes on what is unseen. And then in verse chapter 12, he shows us what he saw that's unseen for us, and thus his prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. So go with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm almost finished. He goes, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. Now he talks about himself in the third person. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. So just make sure we understand this. The first heaven is where we get rain and atmosphere and clouds. That's the first heaven. Second heaven is where you get the stars and the moon and the planets, all that. That's second heaven. The third heaven is where God resides. So Paul says, I was caught up to where God resides. So I was caught up. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. So whether he literally went there or he just had a vision, he doesn't know. So whether in body, I don't know, but God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He, Paul, heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell, or in essence, things that are so amazing that you can't even talk about it. So how did Paul endure such suffering and consider it light and momentary? Because he saw what awaits us. He saw heaven. He saw Jesus. He saw the Father. He saw the angels. He saw these wonderful things. And he said, after seeing this, I have been beaten 5 times, 30 with 39 lashes. It's light. I have been beaten with rods 3 times. It's momentary. Because he saw something that is far surpassing anything on this planet, anything in this life, whether good or bad, whether glorious or awful. Paul saw something. He saw our future. So now when we read his prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, we got to understand something. Paul isn't just throwing words out there. Hey, I pray life's pretty good. I pray you see God. I pray that you have a good life. Pray your marriage goes well. Pray everything is happy. Your kids are happy. That's what I'm praying for. He says, God, I'm praying for these people that what I have seen, I want them to see it as well. What I have experienced, I want them to experience it. And Paul said, this is why I'm praying. The only way this can happen is through a relationship with the Holy Spirit who wants to reveal to us. His desire is to show us all that God has freely given us. And dear ones, though we may never actually literally like Paul see heaven, that's not even Paul's prayer. His prayer is not that you see heaven. His prayer that their eyes of their heart would be enlightened so that they can see it internally, all that God has for us. Man, God, I hope my words, I feel like I'm failing in words. I feel like this is so real that God, give me the words that we would get it. That there is so much that God has done for us that we have to see. And Holy Spirit wants to show us everything that God has given us. And that's, dear ones, why I'm praying for this valley. And I'm praying for my family. And I'm praying for you. And I'm praying for me. I want to see. Because that's where real transformation comes from. It's not that I can quote a few verses. It's not that I can be a good person every now and then. It's when I see and behold the beauty of God that now my life is transformed because I see something. I want you to see. I want me to see. It's my heart's cry. Can we see it? Because when we see it, then we believe it. Well, Mike, isn't faith believing then you'll see it? Kinda. But what are you believing in? You believe what you see. And if I can see, if Holy Spirit gives me revelation, and now the Word of God goes, I've never seen this before. And it's not just to get more knowledge, it's to be able to behold the beauty, the wonder, the majesty, the awesome, amazing God who calls us His own. And I pray that unlike me, you don't sit in church week after week and go, my mom and dad make me come, or I'm supposed to come because it's a, that's what I'm supposed to do. I pray you don't waste your life. I wasted many years of my early life just going because I had to. But when I saw, now my heart was, I want to be with Him. I want to be with a family. I want to know God more. I desire to learn more. Why? Because I saw. And can I be real honest with you? One of the most frustrating things I have in ministry is I can't make you see. I am totally, utterly dependent upon Holy Spirit because I can be the most eloquent speaker in the world, but I can't make you see. Only Holy Spirit can. And I have to trust Holy Spirit is working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, saying, I want to show you, I want to show you. Because when you see, wow, it's like, where did... I've never seen this before. Where did this all... How come... Huh? Because you were blind. But now you see. Cody, why don't you all get ready for baptism, dear friend? Because she has seen. I pray every day, Father, give us this. Would you join with me? Would you pray every day this week again? Pray for your loved ones. Do you have a child that once was following Christ and for some reason they just said, I don't want to have anything to do with them? It's because they don't see. How can... You got to see. Remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Right? Here comes Lazarus, 3 days in the tomb, wrapped up, blah, blah, blah. And people believed in Jesus because they saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. Others went and told on Jesus to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees said, what are we doing here? He's raising people from the dead. We got to kill him. Excuse me? You got to kill him because he's raising people from the dead? Can't you see what's going on? No. They end up killing Jesus. They couldn't see. Ah. So what does Paul pray for? And this is where we're going to go next. I pray that you see the hope of his calling. That God calls us to hope. That we would see the glorious inheritance of the saints. Do you realize not only God is our inheritance, but we are his inheritance? Do you understand that? As Vika's saying, he didn't want to have heaven without us, so he sent Jesus down. He didn't want to have heaven with... So what, we are his inheritance? Do you see that? That this is mutual inheritance and that this there's this power, incomparably great power for us who believe? Do you know, listen, Paul says that without Christ... You are dead in your transgressions, controlled by Satan. Now, wait a sec. I know some pretty good people who are not Christians. Doesn't matter. Without Christ, you are dead in your transgressions, controlled by Satan. That might be offensive to some, but it's the reality of the truth of the word. Now listen, when you accept Jesus Christ, you go from death into life. How in the heck does that happen? The eternal power of God for us who believe. Do you see it? Say, Mike, I don't. Then pray the prayer. Ask the Father, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see.